Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hey, welcome everybody, and Happy New Year to all of you around the world that have access to this show. We are starting this season off, or this year off, I guess, with a bang, with my good friend Cynthia Steele Vance, who is on the line with us and is my guest today, and I'm thrilled to have her on the show. We tried to get her on the show a few months ago, and we had a hurricane and weather problem down in Texas, and the power went out, and we weren't able to record the show. So I'm thrilled to have her back here, and I want to just start off real quick before we talk about Cynthia and all these amazing things that she's done. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and the families down in New Orleans, and I'm sure extending around the country that had people involved in this incident a couple of days ago. Leading up to the All-State Sugar Bowl, which is being played this afternoon, we sincerely ask God to bless your family and give you our best for comfort and strength. And as they say, life moves on, and sometimes it's not easy to do. In fact, it's very hard to do. But you've got our Alan? Support and the support of our listeners, yes, as we do this. So, yeah, Cynthia, can you hear me okay?
I can. You dropped out for a bit, but you're back.
Okay, cool. Thoughts and prayers going out to all of the victims and families in New Orleans with the tragedy that happened there in the last 48 hours. And I just want to let you know that we're with you and in spirit and hope everything works out as well as it possibly can.
Yeah, I'd like to second that, Alan. I'd like to say that my thoughts and prayers too are with those families and that terrible, terrible tragedy in New Orleans. So praying for those people there.
Thank you. I am more than excited to have my good friend Cynthia on the show today. When I met her, and I'm gonna let you, Cynthia, in just a few minutes tell people how we met and et cetera, but I've known her for maybe 15 years, maybe even longer than that. And when I met her originally, it was on a junk removal job. And I came away saying to myself, that's the classiest lady in Washington. She's got to be. I mean, among boatloads of very classy people here in the Washington, D.C. area. This lady has always been number one on my list. And I am thrilled to have you on to talk about junk removal and any other kind of stuff we want to talk about. And what I thought I would do, Cynthia, because you have so much experience in media and television, radio and stuff, I've got a list of maybe a dozen things that I wanted to talk about. But I think what I'm going to do is like start us off with the first one, and then it'll be like a tennis match. And I'm going to let you talk about whatever you want to talk about next. And we'll just kind of go back and forth and make sure that we give you plenty of time to discuss what you want to discuss on this show. Does that sound like a good approach to you?
That's a great approach, Alan. Thank you.
Okay. So I get to hit the serve here. I'm a former
right.
high school tennis
Go
player.
Go ahead.
But,
hit me
all
with
right,
it.
So I just want you to
Not
tell everybody about your stellar career, which is the way I view your career. Just give people a sense of what you've been involved in over the years.
Oh, gosh. Well, you're nice to ask. Okay, well, I was in television. I started many, many years ago in the early days of CNN, and I was an assignment desk editor and a field producer, and then eventually moved into an on-air role, taking my first reporter job in Knoxville, Tennessee, which was very fun. And I was the weekend assignment desk editor and the weekday reporter. So on the weekends, I would assign myself all the best stories. But that's where I got my start. And then from there, I went to Harrisburg, Philadelphia, and came back to Washington, D.C., which is really my home, and was a news anchor here for many years with our Fox affiliate, WTTG.
And you were fabulous. I just, you have
oh
such
my God,
a great
you remember
career.
Me? That's so long ago.
Well,
oh, Lord.
No,
Thank you.
My take is you're fabulous at everything you do. You haven't let me down once, and I'm not looking for opportunities where you would let me down because I don't think you can do that. But I just think you have such a great story that it's really great to have you on. Okay, your turn to hit my serve back. What do you want to talk about real quick?
Well, you know, one thing I'd love to talk about when we first met. May I go ahead and tell the story?
Yes, because that was going to be
okay.
My second thing. Yes.
Okay, so let's start there, because you and I like to talk about junk, so let's get right to it.
Yes. Yes.
So I was moving out of a very large home in McLean, Virginia, and completely overwhelmed, as many people are when they're moving out of a home filled with, you know, stuff from past generations and family and kids. And as they said in the lead-in, you know, a lot of it was junk, but a lot of it wasn't. But what do you do with it, right? You just don't really know where to begin. And somehow I found you, and you showed up in your big old truck. And I was like, oh, God, what about this and what about that? And then I think I pulled out some speakers or wires or something. I had a stereo system, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You said, I'll take that. And I said, well, what the heck are you going to do with that? And you said, oh, I'm going to sell the wires. I'm like, oh, well, good luck with that, Alan. So I'll let you take it from there.
As I remember, yes, you had us haul away some very nice, you know, stand-up lamps and a couple of couches, and it was like a $375 job, something like that. It wasn't that big of a deal. And I remember feeling really good because you had talked to your realtor at the time, I think, and said, hey, where do I, you know, who do I talk to? This stuff is not just junk. And I was thrilled that they referred us to you. But I remember you telling me that your wonderful husband was going to suggest we just leave the speakers here for the new buyers, right? And and you said, credit to you, you said, why don't you take the speakers and see if you can do something with them? And so we're loading, I even forget the brand, I want to say BMW, but that's not right, but we're loading these speakers into the truck. And one of my guys comes to me and he goes, hey, these are top-of-the-line speakers. I think they're made in Europe. And I went, boy, you got me on that one. But he sounded like he knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And so we put them up for sale on eBay. We sold them for $7,000.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That's right. Yes. I couldn't believe it when you called me. Because then you called me, and then you showed up with a big check. And I just couldn't believe it.
I know. See, that's part of the fun of this job is that when you sell somebody stuff, we find out about it, of course, before they do. And so it's like going to somebody's home with the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes check or something, right?
That's how
and
I
in
felt,
your case,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. The eBay folks came in and took their cut, and there was like, I don't know, $6,500 left or something like that. And in those days when I was kind of starting out, I gave people half. Now I give people 35%, but I gave you half, and I walked in with like $3,200. And you said, when I was there, you said something like, so how'd we do? And I said, we did pretty well. And then I gave you $3,200. And your statement to me, and I want to make sure people understand this, people who are in media, people who are on television, you know, people who are in front of a camera are really good at knowing what to say at the moment. I mean, that's part of their job. They're really good under pressure. And when I doled that money out to you, you looked at me and you said, I'm shocked. I don't know what to say. And then you said this classic thing. You said, this is front page Washington Post business section tomorrow. And I went, that's as good as it gets, right? So you'll notice, Cynthia, and I don't know if you noticed or not, on our radio show, on some of the breakout little, you know, one-minute deals that we do, we tell, without using your name, I think we do say it's Cynthia, we tell that story because it's one of the great junk removal stories in the country, in my opinion, where you can get back almost 10 times what you paid.
Well, anyway, and I'll tell you.
That's how I look at it, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, one thing that's so interesting is, while that equipment, you know, I could have left it there, but whoever was moving in was probably going to, it was dated, right? Because everything had become, you know, people had Sonos by then and Pandora. So somebody probably would have just pulled that out and thrown it away if your guy hadn't said, oh, this is worth something.
Because
because it was dated by those standards, but it certainly wasn't dated when you sold it. So it really was unbelievable. And so that started our friendship, and I've been calling on you ever since. You've moved me from two houses, and you've helped me with countless clients.
Well, I got to tell you this. When that story happened, people would say, you know, so like, what are some of the things you've been involved in? And I would say something like, you know, I helped this lady recently who, and this is the way I put it. I said she downsized from like a $5 million home to a $3 million home. That's the way I put it. And they went, oh, she must have some nice stuff. They went, yeah, she has really nice stuff. So anyway, that is one of the great junk removal stories in the country, in my opinion. And it was a great way to meet you. So fast forward to today. Tell people more about what you're doing now in real estate.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started in real estate. I think you may remember this because of my television career. This was probably, gosh, maybe 9 years ago. My friend had taken over as CEO of our local TTR Sotheby's here in Washington and Virginia and Maryland. And he had come to me and he said, you know, with your background in TV, could you do some videos of some of our high-end properties? Because at that time, Alan, people were not doing videos. I mean, it was print photography, and that was really about it. The whole, you know, Instagram videos of real estate had not really happened. So I got a little crew together, and we would go around shoot these high-end properties, and I would produce it as if it was a feature story. And
It was
really fun, and it was very popular. But, of course, after a couple of years of that, then Instagram came onto the scene, and people started doing videos, and you know, now it's a common practice. But then, I will tell you, I was a pioneer, Alan, in video production for real estate. So it was very fun. And then from there, I moved into doing sales.
I'm not a bit surprised that you're a pioneer. I think you just have that demeanor about you that says, let's go get it done. And if we need to figure out a new way to do it, then we'll do it. You just strike me as a person who can think outside the box, and you don't let little barriers or even big barriers stop you. That's my impression.
Well, thank you.
I think your track record backs that up as well. Okay, back to you. Tennis match. And what else do you want to talk about?
Well, I thought it might be fun to talk about that one house that we did together, and I had been working on it, and it had been on the market. I won't say the fellow's name, although he's a really lovely man. But remember, the house had been on the market for a long time.
Gosh,
I think maybe a year. And he had lived there for 30 years, and he was, you know, a bachelor and just had just a tremendous amount of stuff. And trying to get him out of that house was, you know, really difficult. And I called you up, and you came in, and you removed so much stuff for him, and you also calmed him down. Because as I always say to you, people get it. It's such an emotional thing to move out of a house and to figure out what to do. And the fact that you could come in and say, look, this isn't really all junk. We're going to sell what isn't junk. You know, so you're going to get something back, but we're going to treat your possessions as the things that need to be discarded. We'll discard them. We'll recycle them. We'll donate them. I mean, it was just a huge thing. And I'll never forget the relief for that gentleman that when you stepped through the door and took over.
No, thank you. Thank you. He was a nice guy, and he had a very nice property, and it was fun to work with him. And you're right. We do a little bit of unprofessional psychology in this because it just is kind of the boat you're thrown into, and people bring us into their lives when they're kind of going through some tough stuff sometimes, and that leads to all kinds of stories. But No, I appreciate that. And we always appreciate, we always, by the way, folks, we give people, if your realtor refers you, we give you 10% off of whatever the price is. So we want their customers to know that that referral is going to put money in their pocket as well as money in our pocket. So that's just kind of a standard thing that we've done. You have been involved, Cynthia, in some of, from everything that I know, some of the biggest real estate sales in the Washington, D.C. area. Do you want to tell us about any of those or give us a sense of what that's like?
Well, I'll tell you, one was a very, very close friend of mine that I worked with her in television. And it was in the early days of COVID. She had decided to sell her very large home on a very beautiful street. And she had been there for, I don't know, 25 years or something. And she was divorced and felt it was really time to make that move. And so she said, "Will you help me?" I said, "Of course I'll help you." And I brought in one of my partners with me. And really within a matter of a couple of weeks, she sold that house. We put it on for $24 million, and we sold it for about $23 million in about 2 or 3 weeks. It was extraordinary. It was during COVID. The people that had come to see it didn't even walk in the house. The property overlooked the Potomac River, so it was a beautiful view. But they never even stepped foot in the house because, you know, with that COVID, people were very cautious about everything. But they put an offer in, and it was done. Boom. Got her out of that house. She bought something else and then bought a beautiful place in Charlottesville, and I helped her with the next sale on that. And it was just a fantastic experience to help, you know, one of your closest friends that you'd known through many different, you know, I'd known her as a newswoman, and then I knew her as my good friend, and then to help her in this next phase of her life was really so satisfying. And then I'll tell you another one, too, was a wonderful couple. He was a well-known politician, and their home on, this is about 2 years ago, right after Christmas, burned to the ground.
Oh, geez.
And really difficult. Her father was a former president. She had a lot of memorabilia. Had a picture of her with Elvis Presley and, you know, just loads of stuff. And the house burned down, and it was very, very difficult. But, you know, it was a fantastic property, and we sold that, I think, for $22 million within about a month or so. Yeah, so that was really, those were, you know, out of the box, unbelievable, extraordinary, but really wonderful things to be part of because, again, you're helping people that are, you know, difficult transitions in life, particularly for that couple. They were older. So that was, they were in their late 70s, almost close to 80. So that, and they thought they were going to die in this house, you know. And so then when they had never had any intention of moving. But they've moved on now.
Well,
they've moved on pretty well now.
were you surprised during COVID at the first story that you told us when you were asking, what, $24 million? And you got an offer for $23 million and change. Did that surprise you, or did you go, yeah, that's about what I expected?
No, it was a total surprise. And then the way the whole real estate market went crazy during COVID, it was insane. I couldn't believe it.
I just think that's an amazing thing. And I got to ask you, too, when you're involved, you know, you go out and you sell a home, let's say it's a $1 million home, right? And then you go out and you sell one for $20 million. The reaction that you must have as a realtor to that. I mean, I guess you could sell 20 homes at $1 million a piece, or you could sell one home at $20 million, right?
Yeah.
It must have just been, from a pure business salesperson standpoint, a great day for you as a realtor to see these big transactions come in and these people get what they need and are able to move on with their life. It's just, I just picture you as someone who wouldn't really sweat when you talk about a $23 million home compared to a $1 million home. I just think you have the class to handle that kind of thing in everyday comfortable style. I would bet my life that's the case.
Well, I will say sometimes it's easier doing those very high-priced houses than the lower ones. Because, you know, sometimes, I mean, it really, I should say it's kind of the same because everybody wants to make sure that things are going to be right with the house. They want to do the,
right.
You know, I mean, there are things that people want. And at the end of the day, it's where they're going to live. And so you just have to make sure that you're very conscious and sensitive to what people are buying, what they're looking for, and how they're feeling. And like you said, there's a lot of psychology involved.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly
no matter
right.
No matter if it's $1 million transaction or $23 million transaction, they're all equally as important in how people are feeling, being conscious of their feelings.
That's a great way to. That's a great focus for a salesperson, for a realtor. That's spot on, in my opinion. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break for a minute. We're going to come back. We're talking to the classiest lady in Washington, Cynthia Steele Vance.
Yeah, who's that? Yeah, I'm just going to.
She's also the most humble woman in Washington, which is a rare combination, but we'll give it to her because she's that good. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com. We'll be back in about 1 minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I always have to compliment our producer, Don Newsome, who, that's his voice that just did
He's
that
got
little
a great
breakout
voice.
Commercial. He has a great voice, doesn't he? And
yeah.
He is a twin. His brother, Doug, sounds exactly like him. And they've been in radio for many years, and they are fabulous guys, and they have treated us like gold. And, so it's nice to have a producer that just knows his way in and out of the radio business and sounds great, you know, on the radio himself. All right, so here's another question for you. Tell people what they should keep in mind when it comes to selecting a realtor. What should they look for?
Well, I think the most important thing is, you know, chemistry, that somebody that you like and you feel that you like them and you trust them. You know, they don't have to be your best friend, but they have to be somebody that puts your best interests forward and you trust them. And you're comfortable with them. Because, again, as we were saying, whether it's you showing up at someone's house and removing their possessions or me showing up at someone's house, you know, working with them to sell it, you know, you want to know that you trust that person, that you're comfortable with that person, that you personally like them. Again, you don't have to have cocktails with them, but you want to feel like you're comfortable with them and that they're really going to do the best they can for you. So it's kind of, you know, it's a level of trust. I think is probably the most important thing.
Do you find that most of your clients come from referrals and word of mouth just because
yes.
you're so well known and you're so good in this community? Is that an accurate guess on my part?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Kind of like
More
your business, right? I mean, isn't that really where, you know, you most of your business is all from referrals, isn't it?
Yeah, we get a lot of referrals from realtors and others. Yes, we do. And We do some other basic marketing kind of stuff that we do, but yeah, we get a lot of referrals for house cleanouts like you've given us and others have given us over the years. Yes, correct.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you if I can just turn.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You, just turn the tables for a minute. How did you? And I know we've discussed this, but how did you start doing this? How did you get into the junk refund business?
That's a great question. I've been in sales all my life. I was a stockbroker for 10 years with Smith Barney. I started in Utah. I moved here to Washington, I think in 1989, because I had a very influential man. My father passed away when I was 19, and I was doing some church missionary service at the time. And the guy that oversaw me and a bunch of other people for a couple of years was a federal magistrate from Idaho who went to law school at USC at night. And so I was all of a sudden, I lost my dad, but I was under the direction of an attorney from Idaho who just seemed to have a great life. And so the field of law became interesting to me because I watched him run this group of, you know, 200 young missionaries out in Missouri and Kansas, and just how well he operated really impressed me. So I came back to Washington. I looked into law school, but I'm more of a salesman than I am a researcher kind of thing. I mm-hmm. like to debate. I like to think in certain ways, but I enjoy sales. I enjoy people a little bit more. So I thought, well, if I don't go to law school, maybe I will be a stockbroker and manage money for lawyers and law firms. And that just started the wheels turning, and I thought, well, I'm going to set up this nationwide network of brokers inside of Smith Barney that are real pros at working with attorneys. And if I'm going to do that, I need to be right in the middle of all the high-profile law firms. And so I came to Washington not knowing anybody, just with a small family, and that was my dream. I did that for 3 years, a company in Utah involved in day planning and planning your goals and that kind of thing for your life. They came to me with a sales job, and it tripled my income overnight and allowed me to work at home. And so with a young family, consequently, that was maybe the toughest decision I made in my life because it was completely different than why I came out here. I did that for 10 years. Then that company merged, and in our church, I was a scoutmaster at the time, and I had, you know, maybe a dozen kids, and I said, okay, guys, if you guys make it to Eagle Scout, I'll take you down to Walt Disney World. And six of them made it. And I found on Southwest Airlines, for some reason, I don't know what happened, $25 one-way flights to Orlando from Washington, and I took six of them down there. And in the process of helping them raise money for this trip, we started selling firewood. And it was just something, I'm not even sure how that started. We started selling firewood, and I ended up with a pickup truck. And I did it on the weekends. Yeah. And so I did it on the weekends, this, you know, blue-collar grunt work stuff. But I did it on the weekends because as the other company was going through a merger and some of the things were happening there, I went, you know what, this doesn't feel very good to me given the position that I have here, and it may not be the best deal for an experienced salesperson. So I compensated for the headaches that I would sometimes get that I couldn't do anything about by running my own company on the weekends. And then, to make a long story short, I went into work one morning. I was the bishop of our congregation at the time. I had a flock of 350 people, right? Whoa. Volunteer kind of thing. I mean, you're not paid for it. They just ask you to do it. So I had a lot of responsibility, and my fourth child was going to be born in 3 months. Oh. And I went into work, and I did not have a job 2 hours later. And I went, you know what? That's not a lot of security for somebody who's worked for a good company, done their best for 10 years. Yeah. I can lose my job in 2 hours. And I was doing well. I didn't screw up. I was doing well. So anyway, I had a truck. And I kind of went, you know, to my wife later that day, and I said, we have a little problem here. And I had a truck. I didn't want to go out and interview for companies. I suddenly kind of lost confidence in that process, but I believed in my sales ability.
Yeah.
And so I went out with a truck and thought, let's see, how can I make money with this truck? Because I got to pay, you know, Pepco in 20 days or whatever. And I just started selling firewood because of my experience with the scouts. And then I saw the 1-800 Got Junk guys, and they're nice trucks. And
oh,
I went,
gosh.
Hey, that's a great business. You can't screw that one up too much, you know? And so I really tried to come up with something better than what they had. And that means you need a good name, and you need a phone number, ideally, that spells out your name.
Mm-hmm.
And you then go to work, and you try to provide a service that's better than what they did or what they do. And that's where the idea of selling stuff came into play, because I started hauling stuff away, and pretty soon in my garage, I had three china cabinets sitting in my garage, and I went, they're too nice to throw away. And yeah. I thought, well, why don't I put these up for sale? So I did, and they sold. And then I thought, wait a minute, you know, I had kind of worked for part of Stephen Covey's company, and this idea of thinking win-win, you know, was kind of ingrained in my head. Yeah. And I went, you know, the only thing better than me selling this and getting first paid to take it and second getting paid again to sell it is to give some of that money back to the guy that owned the china cabinet.
Wow.
Because then he starts to talk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And so I liked that idea, and I thought that was basically a better mousetrap for people.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
now you can make some money off your stuff, right? Instead of just watching it go bye-bye.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's the long answer to your short question, but that's how I got involved in it. I tried to create something that would last, that would separate me from everybody else.
Well, but and now, I mean, when you came to my mom's house, I'm sorry, I think I stepped on you, but...
When
you came to my mom's house, I guess this was about a month ago, you've been traveling. You go all across the country now, right?
Yes, I've been all over the country. I delivered, for example, this morning, I guess the word gets out on the internet that, hey, there's this company that won't just take your stuff to the dump. You know, we also do donations. By the way, I have a donation slip for all your mom's stuff that we took over to. Where did you want it taken? Where did we take it?
I think you took it to Wider Circle.
Yes, they took everything. And I have a donation slip here for you. Yeah, but we donate stuff. We recycle metal and wire. We sell the good stuff. So this morning, literally, I put a treadmill in the back of my SUV. The SUV, by the way, was thrown away 6 months ago at a hauling job in Herndon, Virginia.
Oh, I saw that SUV.
And I kept it. Yeah. That came from a hauling job. So I put the treadmill this morning in there, drove it down to Bethesda. That treadmill came from a job in Rhode Island 2 weeks ago where I brought back three outstanding sewing machines because the lady was a quilter up there.
Wow.
We sold one for $1,000, one for $400, and just sold the treadmill for $150 this morning and delivered it down to Bethesda. And I, on Monday and Tuesday, I'll be in San Francisco doing a job there.
Wow.
So, yeah, so the word gets out, and because of my Go Wild pass on Frontier Airlines, I fly across the country for like $25. So I can compete with anybody around the country without charging travel or hotel expense, because I'm a Diamond member at Wyndham Resorts, and so I stay free at hotels around the country. So I can compete with anybody around the country, and the travel is minimal, and all I do is rent a truck in the area, and then I have to just figure out where's the dump, where's Goodwill, where's this and that, and they always have them, and then whammo, you turn around and come back.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea that's how you did it. I wondered what the heck you were doing if you were driving across country or what you were doing. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it just kind of happened, and you get jobs, you know, people, you know, and we have 62 affiliates around the country that will go out and do small jobs for us. If somebody in Chicago needs a refrigerator hauled away, we'll give it to our affiliate in Chicago, and they'll take their trucks and their guys, and they'll go haul it away using their pricing, and then they just pay us a small percentage of whatever they charge the customer. And so we have 62 of those folks out there ready to help us, and that's a growing number because we get calls from, you know, new areas where we don't have somebody. Yeah. So,
hello.
Can you hear me? Okay.
You dropped out a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, talking about those treadmills and hauling it out. Your viewers may be interested in that huge bike that we had in my mother's house for my sister. The monster. I think we called it the Beast.
The Beast. Yeah.
So it was just to give them some background. So my sister was injured in a car accident many years ago, and it was part of a program out of Wright State University where they had these big stationary bikes. It was like a stationary bike, but it was bigger, and they would attach electrodes to her legs, and she would work out, and it would keep her in shape. But it was that bike that was 25 years old, right?
Yes, and it had 25 years of steel in it too. I mean that baby was heavy.
It was huge. So you know it's probably been refined now. Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, my dad had it down there for years, and he was never sure what to do or how to move it. So you figured it out. I don't know how you did it, but you did it.
And I'll tell you this morning, this is a great story again. Delivering this treadmill to Bethesda. We put it on Facebook Marketplace. The lady was interested in it, but you could tell that her husband was kind of not as interested in it as she was. And when I went to deliver it, she said, I need to get it in the house where it's supposed to be before my husband gets home. If he comes home and finds it here outside the garage or in the garage, he's going to blow his stack, basically. And I don't know why, and I didn't ask why. I just went, okay. We ended up taking the wheels off of this treadmill to slide it sideways through the door from the garage into the house and got it. And it was her idea to take the wheels off. And she bought this thing for her kids so they can have a place to work out and run when it's bad weather because they're both athletes. And it was such a great story. I gave her a hug before I left. I said, God bless you for your tenacity to get this thing into the house and make it work for your kids. I said, that's a great mom. And I think she appreciated that. But anyway, that was literally just before I came here.
Yeah. So, I will say that's one thing I think both you and I have seen. You have a lot of this big equipment. That treadmill or that bike of my sister's, and people are like, what in the world do I do with this? And they just don't even know where to begin. So the fact that you're able to remove it or give it a new life it's really something.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun to do. And as I told the lady this morning, I've always enjoyed a good challenge, which is true. And I love it when somebody calls us and says, we have this junk removal company over here and they couldn't get the freezer out of the basement. Can you come help us? And I went, heck yes, we'll come help you. We'll get it out. I love that challenge. Yeah, I mean, if it goes in, it'll come out, right? I'd love that challenge. So, all right, here, back to you. Tell us a little bit about Sotheby's, which is the broker that you work for now, and some of the things that kind of set them apart.
Well, I think they have such a global reach, right? And it's all about, really doing things in a first-class way. But that doesn't mean that everything they sell is going to be $10, $20 million. It's across the board. But there is a huge global reach, and, of course, we've got, affiliates all around the world. And it is really just a great, I work with the TTR Sotheby's one here. And, the marketing division, the people that work there, it's also a very close-knit group of people. And they really care about doing the best that they can by their clients. It's really about, selling, but taking care of you also, making sure that you're taken care of, you're happy with what's happening. And again, that extraordinary global reach, around the world is really something else. So your property really, has a lot of eyeballs on it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm going to ask you one more question, and I'm going to let you hit the ball back to me, okay? And we'll talk about it. In fact, I'm going to ask you one more question, and we'll take a quick break after that, and then we'll come back and talk about some more stuff that you want to talk about here.
Okay, you dropped out for a minute. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, that's all right. I love the idea when you just mentioned around the world with Sotheby's, right?
Yeah.
The only non-real estate question that I kind of put in here that I wanted to ask you, because I think you have some experiences here that most of us just don't get to have. That's my guess, is I think you've attended some of the finest social events that I know of, not only in the U.S., but in Europe and in other places as well. I'm curious to know, are there two or three of your favorite events to attend out there, and is there some event you've always wanted to go to that for some reason you've never been able to attend yet?
Well, I'll tell you one that I went to and I took my daughter to probably about 2 years ago. It's a beautiful chateau outside of Paris. It's called Vaux-le-Vicomte. And it's just an absolutely extraordinary property. And the fellow that owns it, the father that managed it and took care of it passed away and he left it to his three sons. And the three sons took over the managing of it. Well, you can only imagine, right, like what it cost to put a roof on a chateau, right? A lot of money.
Yeah.
So they started doing, probably about 10 years ago, they started doing these big gala events. And then they would designate, this year the money goes towards the fountains, or this year it goes towards a new roof, or this year it goes towards, some kind of exterior project or interior project. And so it was, my daughter really wanted to go, and I'm like, oh, my God, these tickets are pricey. But I said, let's do it. so we went, and it was about an hour out of Paris, and they picked you up in a big bus, and they bring you out. And, the owner, this Alex DeVogue, is greeting you at the door with his mother, who's an Italian baroness. And it's just fantastic. And it's, you know, it's this glorious place. You feel transported to a completely different time. And it was just so much fun. And, you know, everybody's in black tie and dressed up. And, you know, it really, really was something. And you have free rein to wander around all the rooms. You know, there's one dinner in a huge big dining room, but then there was a band and another one and here and there. Now, they don't want you sitting on the furniture, but you are allowed to wander. So it was an extraordinary experience. It was great.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's like the Cynthia Steele Vance life that I'm totally curious
well,
to know
always,
about.
Not always, but it was fun. I don't want to get the wrong impression. I'm not jetting around, you know, fancy
No,
parties,
it's okay. It's
fun.
Okay. Hey, it's okay. Yeah. You know, so, all right, that is a great story. All right, folks, we're going to take another break for a minute, and then we'll be back talking with my friend Cynthia, who is undoubtedly the classiest and most humble woman in Washington, D.C., and I'm having a blast talking to her here. So we'll be back. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. We'll be back in about 60 seconds.
Okay.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show, folks. This is your host, Alan Cook, with 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, and I am having a blast talking to my good friend Cynthia, who I've always dubbed for about 15 years as the classiest lady in Washington. She's probably getting tired of me using that.
No, I like it.
Yeah, but that is, okay, good. But that
I don't
is
get
the
that
fact.
Very often, so I'll take it.
Well, yeah, no, that's the fact. And we got like 5 million people in the metropolitan area, and I'm telling you, this lady is number one. She's just got, she just does life really well, and she really does. And it's just awesome all the way around. So let me give you a shot. I think it's your turn to hit the tennis ball back at me if you want to. Any question you have for me or any topic you want to talk about that I haven't asked you about so far?
Well, I did want to ask you how you ended up doing, I think it's so fascinating that you've gone from Junk Refund to being a podcast host. So,
yes.
You know, of course, podcasts are huge, and I've never been on one, so I'm kind of thrilled about that today, Alan. Thank you for asking
cool.
me. But cool. How did you end up doing that?
I started at a station that I can't remember the call number right now. It was in PG County. It was an AM station. It kind of goes back to my church again. It's like these scouts. One of the assignments that I had one time was to go around to the different congregations, in maybe a dozen different congregations in Washington, and give like a 20-minute talk, you know, once a month. They would assign me to a different congregation. And so I was like the visiting guest speaker, so to speak, and I would write these talks that lasted about 20 minutes, you know. And I've always enjoyed being behind the microphone, and I've done it since I was kind of young, and I'm just comfortable doing that, you know. And so I thought, well, gosh, there aren't a lot of junk removal guys out there doing a radio show. And so I hooked on with one of the stations, an AM station in PG County, and it was my first experience with radio. And get this lineup. They put me, they said, okay, we've got a slot, you know, Sunday mornings. And I'm a church guy, and I'm going, well, I don't want to go do a work, you know, radio show Sunday mornings. But if I do that, at least I'll be in the Klan, and then maybe when some opening pops up during the week, at least I'll maybe have a shot at getting that opening. So for about a month and a half, I kind of juggled my church schedule, and I went in Sunday mornings, and I did this radio show. And It was a CBS station, and they brought me in one time to listen to a mortgage broker do his show just to watch somebody else do it. And I went in, and I sat down and watched, and he talked for like 1 minute, and then all of a sudden he starts quoting the Bible. And I'm going, man, I guess CBS lets you do whatever you want. I mean, I don't know. You know, he's all of a sudden it turns into this religious show or something. And so I did this show for a month and a half, and then they came in and said, hey, we've got an opening on Thursday afternoons at 2 o'clock. Would you rather have that slot? And they kept dropping the price of what I had to pay them to do this. And I went, sure, now get this lineup. I didn't do any high school, you know, DJ radio stuff. Never did anything in college, never done it in my life. But if you put me in front of a microphone, I'm very comfortable, and I tend to have lots of stories to tell. And
oh, you sure do.
And some of them are actually true, you know? No. but that Thursday lineup, get this lineup, from 9 to noon was Glenn Beck. From noon to 2, yeah, from noon to 2 was former Senator Fred Thompson.
Oh, my gosh.
It gets better. From 2 to 3 is the junk refund guy. From 3 to 6 is Dennis Miller out of L.A. And from 6 to 9 is Lou Dobbs' financial report. And yours truly is at 2 o'clock.
Wow.
And
that
so
is
I would
really
get
something.
Isn't that something? And so I would get on at 2 o'clock, do my show, and I'm picking up over the internet all these people around the country that have been listening to Fred Thompson or whoever else, right? Or, you know, Glenn Beck in the morning, right? And so I did that for like a year and had a blast doing it, and then just kind of got involved doing some other stuff in the business. And I was off the radio for a few years, and I thought, yeah, gosh, I should get back on because I have so much fun doing it. And I've been doing this with these great guys down in Texas for maybe a year and a half, something like that. And it's just one of those things that kind of works for me, so that's what I do.
Wow, it's great. No, it's great,
right?
And I love it. I mean, you talk about so many different things, too. I mean, it's, you know, you've just got a million and one stories, and like you said, a few were true. But they're good stories. And again, I go back to what we've talked about often is, it's so wonderful for people to hear, you know, because moving is one of the biggest, is one of the most difficult things in life, right? Moving out of a house.
Yes.
Moving on in life. And so you really offer people kind of a path for that, which I think is great.
You know, it's been fun because we've been called, you know, I don't know, an angel, you know. God bless you guys. You've been angels to help us out or whatever. And you that's the kind of what you try to do, right? I mean, we screw up just like other people screw up, but you try to help people out when they need the help. Let me ask you this question. This is, you've had a lot of experience over the years working with different junk removal companies. And I know you have access to different ones, and there's a bunch of them out there, et cetera. What do you think is important when people select a junk removal company? Anything come to mind off the top of your head?
What I think is most important from a junk removal company?
There's a bunch. More and more of them are popping up, yes.
Well, again, I think it's the fact that, well, first of all, it's your personality, Alan. You make people feel very comfortable. But you're also very compassionate, and you understand that, again, you know, people are overwhelmed. They're trying to figure out what to do. They're moving into a smaller place. They're leaving the area. Or they're cleaning out, you know, my case, cleaning out my mother's home. You know, moving for whatever reason is an emotional upheaval in people's lives. And you come in, and I think the most important thing is to be compassionate, to recognize, again, some of this stuff is junk and should be going to the, you know, the dump. But you also recognize that people don't necessarily want to keep filling up our landfills with trash and junk. That, you know, you want to see things recycled. You want to see things, you know, either recycled or given, donated to somebody, or make a little money. And that's what I think is so important. But recognizing the fact that these are people's belongings and how to help them figure out what to do with them. And you offer people so many different things to do with them that you feel good about getting it out of the house. You don't feel like you've just thrown everything into a landfill somewhere, which is the thing that my sister-in-law kept saying as we were going to my mother's home, which was just, you know, oh, my God, you know, generations of stuff, right? But she kept saying, please, dear God, don't, you know, just let's not put this in a landfill. So I said, well, I've got just the guy for that. We're calling Alan Cook with Junk Refund. And there you came and you met my brother.
Lovely. Yes. Nope. Yeah, your wonderful brother, I mean, this I'm going to call it the Steele Vance family, just keeps getting better and better. Your wonderful brother came up from South Carolina a number of times, right?
Every weekend for 3 months.
There you go.
Every weekend for 3 months. 3 or 4 months.
With his mom's beautiful property. Yes, I was quite impressed with that as well. Tell everybody a little bit about your friend Rachel, who is out in California and is scheduled to be our guest on the show next week. This was a suggestion that you made. Do you want to just kind of wet their taste buds a little bit about what might be coming their way next week?
I would love to. So Rachel used to be in the corporate world, and then she lives in California. And when those terrible wildfires went through maybe 10 years ago, she felt so bad for so many people that they had lost the most precious, not only their furniture and their belongings, but they lost photos and they lost scrapbooks. And she came up with this idea of creating a company called 2000 Paces on how to, you know, how to collect and keep your photos, how to organize your photos, how to preserve those memories and how to preserve them digitally. And so a very good friend of mine who had a very long career in television, worked for Larry King, had found her, and she just had thousands of photos from every show she ever produced for Larry King. So Rachel came in and helped her organize this, and she made a big book with all these photos that she has sitting in her living room. It's wonderful. You come in and you flip through it, and it's 20 years of Larry King shows and pictures of the famous guests. Yeah, it was beautiful. But that's how she started trying to help people preserve their memories. And when I downsized and moved into Georgetown, I'd had a television career and I had saved just numerous, first of all, I had work tapes, you know, the big 3/4-inch heavy tapes.
Yes, yes.
What in God's name do you do with those, right? And then I also had tapes for my kids, the little, remember the little Memorex tapes when you'd be, you know, videotaping
your
children?
Yeah.
We all have those, right? They're all in a drawer or they're stuffed in a shoebox or they're in a closet. And what do you do with them? Nobody, there's very few places that take those and digitize them for you. So she came out to my home, spent 2 days with me, and we went through everything. She hauled it all back to California, and now my photos and my videos are all at a Smug Mug site that I can access.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And that my kids can access. And all those, the like 90 big 3/4-inch videotapes of my career are all digitized now, and we tossed those.
Love it.
Yeah.
And you've preserved it. You've preserved it, and there's no way it can be destroyed. Right? Or lost.
It can't be destroyed. And you're not overloaded with these huge bins of videotapes and memorabilia. You know, you know where things are. So that's how she started. She's been very successful. And she's just a wonderful person. I thought with what you do, she'd be a great person for you to connect with and for your listeners.
I'm very excited about that. Yes, I can't wait to talk to her next week. And I think we're planning to have you there as well, if it works out for your schedule as well. You're welcome, of course, to come back and join us again next week, too.
I've torn in on that, Alan.
Good, because this was your
idea.
Yeah,
I'm having so much fun with you. I'm just going to keep showing up on all your shows.
Good, because we're always looking for new ways to class this show up. And so you're taking us up to a new level. We love what you're doing. All right, I got two more things to ask you real quick, and then I'm going to give you the last word of anything else you want to chat.
Okay.
We got about 5 minutes. One of these is both of these are kind of non-real estate related, but I'm going to throw them out there because I think you're a great person to answer these. You have been involved. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, you dropped that. Give it to me again.
That's okay. Yeah, of the many things that you've done in your career, one of the other things you've done is you have been asked to co-chair various events to raise money for various causes. And these are big-scale events from what I can tell. Do you have any, just a couple of simple suggestions for anybody who might have a cause out there they're trying to raise some money for? Do you have any tips for people who are trying to raise money from the public for whatever the cause might be?
Wow.
I know that could take an hour, but
yeah,
anything
that could take
just
an
off
hour.
The top of your... Yeah.
Well, it is hard. You just have to, you know, I guess at the end of the day, if I had to think quickly, stories. Get your story across. you know, I did a lot of stuff for many years for Knockout Abuse, and that was stories of women that had suffered from domestic violence. I've also done a lot for Karen Foundation, which is recovery and rehabilitation for people who have had issues with alcohol and drug abuse. You got to get the stories out there so people can connect to the stories. It's always about the story. It's always about that personal connection.
Good. That's a good answer. All right, here's
the last question
for you. That's a good answer. What do you like most about the Washington, D.C. area?
Oh, wow. I love the monuments. I love living in Washington. I love the beauty of it. I love the scale of it. I love the simplicity of our monuments. I love what they represent. I love Arlington National Cemetery. My dad, my mother is now buried there. I find that hallowed ground. I run every day to the Lincoln Memorial. I run up the steps so I can see Abraham Lincoln. And I just, you know, I just love the beauty of this city and what it represents, not only to the city, but to our country and to the world. We are really, you know, we are the nation's capital, and I love living here.
That is fabulous. That kind of mirrors how I like it. I'm a Utah kid originally. People said, well, gosh, the beautiful canyonlands out there, and you moved to Washington. Why did you move to Washington? And I tend to say, you know, if I was a kid and I needed to go find a sandbox or to play in, Washington, D.C. is the kind of sandbox that I would like to play in because it just has so much to offer, and I never get bored.
I never get bored. It's not just, you know, you've got the Kennedy Center and you've got the theater. You've got a lot of wonderful things and the monuments and the museums, but also just the city too, just the physical beauty of it, but the ability to ride your bike and to run and to walk. I mean, it's really got everything.
All right. Now, I got to ask you real quick, if people want to contact you to talk about real estate, et cetera, do you want to give them a number, an email, some way to contact you so they'll know how to get a hold of you?
Oh, sure. I'll give them my work email. How's that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. It's C. Vance, V as in Victor, A-N-C-E, at TTRSIR.com.
Okay.
CVance@TTRSIR.com.
Great. Now, since you're the former TV personality and talk show host and all this stuff, I'm giving you the last word here of anything else you want to talk about. And I can't thank you enough for just taking the time to be on here and talk about this, just all these different issues. You're such a fun person to talk to and to know. Is there anything you want to just kind of wrap up the show with and talk about just to make sure we don't overlook something that's important to you?
No, I guess the most important thing is that, you know, again, and as we talk about this, life can be so overwhelming, and it's just so good when there are people like you that will help people through very difficult situations, you know, moving, getting rid of stuff, trying to move on, transition in life can be hard. And so it's always good to find somebody like you to help people with those decisions. But I just think, you know, you're a very compassionate person, Alan. I've always appreciated that in you. And it's been great being on this show. I could just spend another hour with you.
No, ditto.
but people are probably sick of listening to us by now.
No.
They're like, get off the air.
Hey, I know what we'll close with. Here's a little thing. The last time I saw you, just to give you a feel, people, of how great this lady is, the last time I saw you was at your mom's place. I'm a junk removal guy, so I'm the guy going in there and hauling out boxes that have dust on them and, you know, all kinds of stuff that you just get dirt on you for various reasons because of kind of the work that I do. And then I come to your mom's house. You come there. You, of course, look like a million bucks just wearing some denims and I'm going to say a white top. That's the best way I can describe it. And you always look like a million bucks. On Facebook, if you're in Europe, you just look fabulous. You do. And so when we were done, we're out in the driveway, you extend your hand to shake my hand, and I say to myself, I got to hug this lady. When's the next time I'm going to get a chance to hug somebody this cool, right? I mean, that's kind of what went through my mind. And you're a good friend of mine. So I just kind of passed on the handshake, gave you a big hug, and then I thought, oh, my gosh, that top or blouse she's wearing was white. It's probably going to be white and brown now because she hugged me. I was probably sweaty at the time. And I feel like I owe you money for the dry cleaning bill for the clothes. That's my
Alan,
closing comment.
I think that's a good way to close this. There's nothing better than a hug, right?
Yes, and you gave me a very wonderful, warm hug despite the fact I wasn't in a tux, which I appreciated very much. That's the kind of person you are.
Well,
and I appreciate
I'm glad
that very much.
You. Well,
thank
it'll be fun
you.
Next
thank
week talking
you.
To Rachel. I think she'll be a great person for us. We'll both have fun talking to her.
Great, and we will shoot you the audio of this in maybe a day or two. Don will work his magic and put it together. We'll shoot you an audio copy of it, and then you can play with it however you want to. But thank you very much for taking the time. It's been a joy to talk to you. And
all right.
You really are the classiest lady in Washington. Congratulations.
Okay, Alan, I'll be cutting
up,
to that
sure
check
you'll...
right now. We'll cut to that
okay.
check for all those nice things you said about me.
I won't cash it, but you can send me the check if you want. That's fine.
Folks, all right, listened, thanks so much.
Thank you to Cynthia Steele Vance for being my guest today, to Don Newsom for doing a great job as a producer. You listen to the Junk Refund Show. Quick shout out to FM 102.7 in New York City, where apparently a million people are listening to us now up to five times a week on Saturdays. So we really appreciate those folks for doing what they're doing for us up there as well. We'll see you next week. Have a great life, and just have a great week. We'll talk to you next week on the Junk Refund Show. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.